This board is so easy to use compared to the one that we do the other shows on.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, the sound isn't as good and everything, but it usually always works. You turn it on, you know. But I guess I got a lot less stuff to deal with in here, too.
Yes.
So many different things going on in the world. If you're listening to this podcast, hope you've listened to some of the other ones. A lot of interesting stuff on some of the other shows. If you haven't listened to God and Fishing, I think you'll enjoy that. Cook and Fish is an interesting one as well. We're starting some hunting shows, and we're starting some other things as well. But, and the website, yes, it is a mess. The whole thing crashed on me. I am slowly getting it rebuilt. But it is a tremendous amount of work for an old guy to sit there and completely go through dozens or hundreds of pages and make sure all the links are correctly going. And I'm still working on the tides. I can't get them to work. But I will. Eventually, I'll have it all back together. But for right now,
doing the best you can.
I'm doing the best I can with what I've got. If you've ever met me, you know that's not a lot. So, alright. Yeah, somebody gave me a weird review on the internet. She said, you know, I don't care for the owner. I'm going to buy all my stuff online. I'm like, you know, and I answered back. I was like, okay, but I really don't remember having a problem with anybody. And, you know, sorry if I made you feel that way, you know, and I just wrote puzzling. That was kind of, you know, usually I know if I have a problem with somebody. Those one-star reviews on the internet are very real. That is me being very rude to somebody, hoping they don't come back. Well, when you have, you know, all these people coming in that are so much fun and enjoyable to talk to, if you meet somebody you don't really like and they don't like you, why not just make them go away?
Right.
It's easier, and everybody's in a good mood, and everybody's happy.
Right.
You know, and they can go on and find some place that makes them feel good and happy, hopefully. You know, that's the easiest way to go about it. If you like something, you know, go there and do it. If you don't like it, you know, go somewhere else and do that.
Right.
It's pretty simple stuff. You know, it's not a real egghead theory.
No. It's a pretty realistic theory.
Yeah, like the one guy who was talking to somebody about me, and they said, oh, yeah, he's a real jerk and all this and all that. And I'm like, yep, pretty much sums me up. And he literally came here because he heard I was just like him. We had a great time talking to each other.
Nice.
That was a fun bit. You know, okay, yeah, well, I heard you were a real jerk. He says, yep, you're just like me. You're not going to sugarcoat it. This is the way it is. You know, like me, don't like me. Okay, fine. We like each other a lot.
Right.
We're two
peas in a pod.
Yeah, I guess that was it.
You're like peas and carrots.
Yeah, I guess so. Kind of probably more apropos to anything to do with me. You know, I never got that, how the national hero had an IQ of a 75, until I've seen recently. I've watched TV. I get it.
Right.
If you watch any of the network show, you kind of get, yeah, they're really low play at this one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Fishing report.
Probably be a good idea.
That's what we came here to do.
Yeah.
That's why we're sitting here
this
in the office.
This is like take 12.
Huh?
This is like take 12.
Yeah, it is. But I had two wonderful women come in today, and one of the shows we're going to start is a pickleball show.
Okay.
Now, I've been dying to have a pickleball. I actually sell and syndicate radio shows. That's another business I have. And I wanted somebody to do a pickleball show. Pickleball, I don't even know much about it, but I kind of like it because nobody knows anything about it and tens of thousands of people are playing it.
Right.
It's really intriguing. And it's a big sport with women and even some of the guys, but pickleball's a big thing.
Yes, it is.
And I think the reason it's so big is none of the major outlets know it's there.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it kind of reminds me of Snoopy and the Red Baron. Before they did all the hype about it, it was like huge. And then they did all the hype and it got really big and then just kind of went away. And I think pickleball is going to be the new whatever. But it's cool.
It'll be in the Olympics in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think by the time it hits that, it's going to lose some of its cool factor, because right now people just play it because they love it. They really just love pickleball.
Yeah.
Whatever pickleball is, I got no idea, but I heard they do dinks. Dinks and bangs or something like that. I don't know, but it, I was really enjoying listening to these two women talk about
it. Some type of racket, some kind of ball, and it's usually on some type of tennis court. That's as much knowledge as I have about it.
I think it was Donna and Kitty, or Kitty and Donna, or something like that.
Yeah.
But they were awesome. Really nice women, and nice. I'm looking forward to them doing a show.
Nice.
Harbor Heights, Peace River, Sansucci's, I don't know.
Some.
Pick a place on the river.
Snook and Tarpon. You know, that's about the only thing I've been hearing about. Well, I take that back. There has been a few redfish up there. And they've been hodgepodge. I've been hearing them at Trestle, up by the Spill Dam, up the river by your place, and even all the way up above the Navigator. Now, all the tarpon I've been hearing about have been smaller guys, like in that 10 to 40-pound range. Nothing any larger than that. And then the snook have been a hodgepodge from 20 to 40 inches. So, you know, it's just going out there and plugging away and working the bushes. Some guys are catching them on cut mullet. A lot of guys are just throwing artificials, and particularly the shad tails and the topwater baits. Some guys are throwing frogs. Other guys are throwing the skitter Vs. One guy was buying two of the Zip and Ziggies yesterday because he's been having good success with it up there. So kind of take your pick of your favorite topwater and give it a shot up there, because that's been a pretty decent bite.
Okay.
I'm surprised we haven't had more reports with as windy as it's been. I figured a lot more people would be trying to hide up there to find something.
Well, we've had a couple people that actually understand the value of the river. But it's still this, for a river that's been there for probably 10,000 years, it is a very well-kept secret for as far as fishermen go that live in Punta Gorda Isles or Port Charlotte, where they can go up there. It's just like people living around Aljabeen and that area there don't often go up the Myakka to find out. There's some extraordinary fishing up there.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
But, you know, it's hard to get reports because...
I've gotten two really good reports for up there this week.
All right. Well, let's do I-75 for right now.
There's been some black drum still there, and then a couple of snook, but the wind's been blowing so hard right up against there, it's been very difficult to get any fishing done, really, unfortunately. Kind of the same thing at the 41 Bridge. That wind's blowing right down that river, beating up against it the last 3 days, so... I've got nothing that's within 4 days old, unfortunately.
Okay. And Lashley Pier?
Same concept. It's been so windy, the guys that haven't even walked out on there.
Okay. Bayshore Pier?
Bayshore, actually, a guy caught two little bull sharks, jumped a tarpon. And he said he's been hearing little snook popping under the dock because he's been fishing down there in the evening and at night. He hasn't caught any of them yet, but he's actually heard a couple distinct snook pops. So that's kind of refreshing to hear for over there for the first time in quite some time.
Okay. Port Charlotte Beach.
All around all those intersecting canals and that whole basin there has been having juvenile tarpon off and on in it. Especially at the mouths of the canals. And then there's been quite a few snook starting to show back up, or actually starting to be seen, I should say, because water is getting clearer. A couple of sand bream, few small redfish, and still an incidental black drum. So it's been decent. All the catfish you want, that's for sure, behind my house anyway. Yeah, she got a big sail cat the other night when she was casting the X-Wrap, and it was giant. And, I don't know, it's 3.5 pounds. It was borderline shark tournament material. It was a pretty good one.
You know, I understand they're slimy and the spikes can hurt you and all that, but man, when you're sitting there and you throw that lure out, you get whacked by one of those big sail cats.
Yep.
You've probably got from at least 30 seconds to about 8 minutes of oh my God, what is this? And then they get them up and they go, oh, they get all deflated like somebody, you know, poked a pin in their butt and they just, you know, right. All the air goes out of them. What an awesome fish that they hits are. Everything and they fight like crazy.
Yes, they do.
So, yeah, they're slimy, but, you know, get yourself a fish gripper and just pop the hooks out and with a pair of pliers and no big deal. No harm, no foul, no slime.
Right.
I've been doing it since I got my first fish gripper in 86. Never had a problem with them. If you're too cheap to spend the $15-16 on the fish gripper, I get why you don't like them. You know, they're nasty, but the right tools, they're fun.
Yep.
All right, Elgin Bean Pier.
Elgin Bean's been picking up a little bit. There's been a... Jacks have started to move in there a little bit more. They've been getting a few more mangrove snapper off of there. I heard of one oversized red that was caught there. And the snook activity has started to pick up just a little bit more at night. And then there's also been a few juvenile tarpon rolling around the actual bridge itself in the early mornings. Haven't heard of anyone catching any, but they've been seeing them roll. But the jacks is always a cool thing when they start to light up. There's been a lot of little bait starting to move around up there. The guys are saying they're seeing little schools dimpling both upriver and downriver from them.
Okay. Now, at the Maraca River area, you know, I should actually put that Northport ramp on there. I should do that. I'll have to add that to it. Okay. Go ahead.
Going up the Peace River, or up the Maraca River, I mean.
Sure.
They're from the 41 bridge all the way up past 75. They're catching a lot of snook up there. And then once you get above 75, it's more snook, bass, and small tarpon. I've heard of a few redfish below 41 going down towards Elgin Bean, but most of the guys have been going up there and just really doing well on the snook. One gentleman, his buddy, actually got popped by the FWC because they've been having poachers up there quite a bit, but he was under the assumption that it was open up the river, but that's still Sarasota County.
Yeah, that's Sarasota County. You cannot keep snook there. You can in DeSoto County.
Right.
But not Sarasota County.
That was his argument that he was trying to make, but he lost. But he also knew he was doing something wrong because he had two snook.
Oh, yeah.
By himself.
Well, he's by himself. He's poaching two snook and wanting to argue that. I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Well, so if you keep... You only allowed one, so as soon as you got two, you know you're there illegally. You know you're poaching.
He got three tickets. One, two snook, snook out of season, over the bag limit, and one was undersized by like a half an inch or three quarters of an inch. So he got popped pretty good.
So a court cost, three tickets, everything that goes along with it, the fines, everything else, he's probably looking at least $1,500.
Yeah.
I would say minimum $1,500.
Yeah, and I was talking to Kirk about it, one of the officers, and he said that one ticket for the possession or whatever, because it's a summons to appear, so he said it's a minimum of a $500 fine or 30 days in jail, whichever one the judge decides to do.
Oh, it's a misdemeanor, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just a ticketable offense. It's a you have to go to court offense. So you could probably, with that in mind, you could probably push more like the $2,000 mark.
Yeah.
$2,000. Let's see.
That's
makes
a lot of fish
each
sandwich.
One of those fillets worth $500. I don't think so.
Nope.
I don't get that. Why? What? You know, if you want a snook dinner that bad, get in your car, drive to DeSoto County, catch a legal snook, and take it home.
Better yet, for that kind of money, go to the other coast, get a nice hotel, have a good time.
Yeah, for $2,000, they could go overstay at the Hard Rock, do a little gambling, go to the coast, hire a charter.
Right.
You know, you could, for $2,000, you could have a really good weekend over there with some really awesome stuff.
Right.
No, I'd rather give it to the judge.
Yeah, I'd rather give it to the county and the judge. That's great.
Okay. South Gulf Cove.
Tilapia have been picking up really good. It's starting to, the freshwater is starting to slow down, so they're starting to bunch up a little bit more at the ends of some of those canals and eating worms, live worms, and some minnows, and a couple guys have been catching them on beetle spins. And the one guy's still hammering the Mayan cichlids off of his dock on beetle spins and little pieces of shrimp. And I guess he's in that straightaway part. He's off of one of those tips that are in that open, I guess I would call it a lake, for the straightaway heading towards Cattle Dock Canal.
Okay, beetle. B-E-T-T-L-E. B-E-T-T-L-E. I don't know why that doesn't look right, but
yeah.
It just looks weird.
Why am I not?
Like Betel spin.
Right. Is it B-E-A-T-L-E?
Nah, I don't know. I'm not going to mess with it.
Yeah.
If you read it, it's wrong, but oh well. The West Wall.
Now my brain's working in overtime trying to remember how to spell that. West Wall, lots of redfish over there. I mean, the wind is beating the snot out of it right now because it's an east-northeast wind. So it's been pushing a lot of water up in there, but the handful of guys that have been fishing have been getting some 30 to 34-inch redfish. And then quite a few snook moving around over there, especially on the southern part. And a lot of guys are actually just dead sticking over there. They're using cup mullet. A couple of guys have been finding crabs and using them, but a lot of guys are using cut mullet or trying to catch themselves some fresh ladyfish and using chunks of that too under the bushes. So it's been pretty good bite.
Okay, Cape Hayes.
I've got nothing to be honest there.
Okay. Turtle Bay, Bull Bay.
A lot of snook. A lot of scattered redfish of all sizes, from 16 inches all the way up to, I think the biggest one was 36 or so. The guy really got into a nice little school of them in Turtle Bay, but he said over by the islands where it starts to cut through into Bull Bay. And then he saw some really giant snook over there also when he was working his way over into Bull Bay around some of those small little islands in the main channel there. You know, I've been through that a million times, and I could never find my way through that if I had to.
It's tough. It really is. I mean, I can go there and go through the islands, get from one bay to the other bay, but I have to concentrate on it because every little bay looks the same.
Mm-hmm.
They're only slightly different,
right.
You know, and thank God for Sesame Street growing, you know, seeing that when I was a kid. Because these things are all the same, but which one's the same but different? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And if you don't know it, just idle. Go slow. You'll be fine. You can get a lot of boats through that area.
Yeah.
But if you're going at any speed, you can end up in 4 inches of water and, you know, yards and yards away from water deep enough to float your boat. But if you're at idle speed, bump, you hit bottom, you back up, you go, okay, nope, then deep water's over there, and you go through. It's super easy to get through there if you're willing to go slow.
Right.
Just a little thing, you know, I put, like right now I'm on Cape Hayes Danger Reef, and you'll see Fishing Report Archive History. I did that when we take the reports off of here, I put them on those pages so each one has its own page. And the only reason I did that is if you're up north and you're listening to the show and you're thinking, well, I want to come down in like November, December, and I don't know where the best fishing would be, you can go on to these reports and literally look for the December stuff. Some of them go back a few months, some of them go back years, and see historically what's been hitting in those places during that month.
Right.
And that's why, you know, Robert and I talked about it. We didn't do it for the first few years.
No.
We were doing the report. I think we started in like 2014 on some of them, and some of them don't start till 15 or 17. But any of the ones there, that's what those archive reports are for. Not so much for local people, unless you're, you know, like doing a tournament or you got family coming in, you want to go, okay, I wonder what Bull Bay is doing this time of year. Well, you go onto that archive page, pick the month, and go, okay, this is, you know, you can tell it was either pretty good or not.
Right.
So
yeah, I'm curious to look at that like in another 5 years from now and see what the consistencies are, what some of the changes are, and try to.
Yeah, I left it there.
It'll be pretty fascinating to read later.
Because it's always, you know, the newest ones are on top, so the more down you go, it's the older ones. But anyway, Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
I got nothing other than a lot of wind on it.
And Gasparilla Sound. Gasparilla Sound for 500, please.
A lot of big redfish scattered throughout that whole area, out on the big grass flats, up under the bushes, going up into Whidden and Catfish Creek, even over behind Boca. And then there's also been a big school of ladyfish moving back and forth from one side of the intercoast to the other. And then there's been a few big black tips, a couple of juvenile tarpon, and of course a pile of snook along the shorelines. And there's been some pretty hefty fish that guys are seeing. The only person I've been seeing that's been catching any sizable snook over there is Danny. He's been posting a couple of his charters, and they've been getting some pretty nice snook up to like 38 inches over there. Not sure what his little trick is, but he's got some pretty quality fish popping up in there. There's a lot of them that are starting to get, you can tell they're fresh off the beach because they're yellow. They're either from like off one of the reefs or kind of in the middle of the beach somewhere because they have very little tan and color to them.
Well, we probably had a one or two degree drop in temperature. And it was one of the things, I went onto my website and I was clicking the weather and tide thing. And it says this feature is not available anymore for the temperatures, and I've been trying to find new temperature stuff because I use that information all the time.
Yeah, Josh had that problem earlier.
And there's a lot of the stuff because of, you know, with all this stuff going on, and I mean, you know, I just think in politics right now it's impossible for anybody to do anything. And you know, if they'd work together a little bit, we wouldn't be going through as much of this stuff. But I think because there's so much fighting from both sides, I think that's what the problem is. It's just too much fighting on both sides.
That makes a little bit of sense.
If Trump says one thing, everybody else has got to say the opposite thing. And then if Trump says something else, they all got to do the opposite thing. Well, pick what's good and what's bad. What do you think he's doing that's good, and what do you think he's doing that's bad? Support him on the good stuff, fight him on the bad stuff.
Right.
This is the way politics are supposed to work. But right now, it's so much hate and vile, you know, that whole other party is so vile and hatred and, you know, anything is just horrible. He could cure cancer and they'd berate him because he didn't do it yesterday, or not all of the cancers, only one of the cancers, or whatever.
No, because you put millions of doctors out of business.
Yeah, you put all these people out of work. Yeah, I mean,
you cured cancer, but you put you made a bunch of doctors unemployed.
Yeah, you know, I don't get it. I get if you don't like the guy, that's fine. You know, he's not my favorite person in the world, but everybody has a little duality, good and bad, to him. And some of his stuff is awesome. Some of it, I think, is dumb. But pick the good stuff, support it. Pick the bad stuff, fight it. All right, St. Pete, 83.8. Pensacola, 83.8. We're at about 84, 85.
Wow.
So there's not enough variance up and down the coast. It's 84 in Naples to basically 84... all the way up to Pensacola.
There's no reason
for the fish to move around at all.
Or there's a reason for them to move all over the place and be totally unpredictable.
Yeah, be completely unpredictable.
Look for the bait.
We're only 1.8 degrees off of normal. St. Pete's a little bit below normal. Pensacola is 1.8 degree above normal. So the water temps are pretty close. Key West is 86.7, average temperature there, 86. So we're right at normal water temperatures right now. I was just wondering if that would have made a big difference, and that could be why some of the fish are hitting, but we're right on normals.
Well, that's pretty wild.
You know, I was thinking, okay, maybe we're getting a slight breeze and a little bit of temperature change in the Gulf, which I usually don't look for until October.
Right.
But maybe this cool winds and everything we've had have just put a little drop in the temperature to say, okay, for the snook to start moving into out of the Gulf and into the harbor for the winter. And it could be, because, I mean, it's been, you know, low 70s in the mornings, high 60s, low 70s. Oh, has been really wonderful.
It was gorgeous this morning.
Insulation.
I had a jacket on.
No, Josh was saying to me on Radio Waterline this morning that, you know, you guys were all had, you know, jackets and long sleeve, and he didn't get it because he was in shorts and a short sleeve shirt. And I said, insulation. I don't think you caught it.
No, well, I can't hear because that headset's crappy, so I don't even bother. And you're on delay out front, so I usually try to go out to the lobby to listen to what you're saying.
Yeah, no. I don't listen to what I'm saying. I don't know why you would.
Well, I sit in the middle of two fat guys, so I try to stay warmer.
Yeah. Okay, Placida Pier, Little Gasparilla.
The Placida Pier has up and down the whole trestle from the pier.
I wasn't trying to make a political statement. I was trying to say, make sure NOAA gets the money it needs for all the stuff it has to do with the websites and the forecasting of the weather and all that. And with everybody fighting and nobody getting along, don't vote for anybody who's always fighting. And if all they say is negative stuff, that every, you know, this is all bad, vote for somebody else. I don't care which party you vote for, preferably an independent. Preferably not a Republican and not a Democrat. Vote for an independent. But don't vote for anybody who all they do is argue and fight, because nothing's getting done. It's hurting our weather forecasting. Everything is getting hurt because of the fighting. And that's what I'm against. I want things back to normal. So if they're a big arguer fighter and everything is bad, please vote for somebody else. That was what I more or less meant to say.
Right.
I don't care if you vote for a Republican or a Democrat, but I would prefer you to vote for an independent, because that's what we are. But, you know, let's fund the government, let's make everything work, and let's not spend money we don't need to spend. But let's get it back to the people who are doing the stuff we need. All right, Placida Pier and Gasparilla Pass.
There's been some big redfish being caught off the trestle and along the trestle. The mangrove snapper bite has started to really pick up. They've been catching a handful of pompano also along the trestle. Not too much off the pier itself, but down along the trestle, especially those couple sandbars. And then the snook activity has been really pretty good. Heard of a couple black tips, a couple bonnet heads, and two Spanish mackerel off the pier itself. And then a couple guys have been seeing some tarpon rolling around the second bridge right going out to Gasparilla Pass. Not catching them, but saw a few in the early morning when they were going to go look for bait. So it's been pretty good down there. It's just a lot of little activity going on and a lot of changes. Water's starting to clean up really nice down there, according to a couple people.
Yeah, when the rains are backing off, things are getting better.
It's not too bad at all.
Alright, Lemon Bay, Stump Pass.
From Stump Pass to the inside through Ski Alley and all of those islands right in that immediate area, there's a lot of snook moving on them. One guy caught a nice legal-sized gag grouper. He said it was 25 and a half inches while he was snook fishing over there. Pulled it out from underneath the mangroves. And then a few guys are seeing some small schools of redfish scattered throughout that whole area, but nobody's been real specific to where. But they're catching them on gold spoons, and one guy got into a couple on top water just blind casting and ended up hooking three, so, and all in the same spot, so he's assuming it was a school of fish, but he never saw a push or anything light up. But it's been pretty decent.
Alright, Anger Pier, the bridge.
It's been a little quiet there, but they have been getting a few ladyfish during the day and some snapper. And then there's been a couple of small snook being caught at night down there. And guys are seeing a lot of snook and seeing some of the juvenile tarpon at night, but just hasn't been as as catchy as it has been more just watching fish.
Okay. Venice jetties.
Still a lot of big snook being caught there at night. And then during the daytime, they're starting to pick up quite a few more pompano. A couple guys got into a few Spanish and a couple of mangrove snapper also. They said they didn't catch very many Spanish, but they're in the 20-inch range, so they were at least good-sized ones. And even they said up there, it's starting to clear up a little bit, but they said there's still quite a bit of brown water dumping out of that one. He said there's definitely a defined line when you get out to the end of the jetty and look. He said you can see the brown water, but he said it's not black like it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, Gulf of Mexico.
Got nothing. It's been too windy.
Alright, Boca Grande Pass.
A couple guys have tried to go offshore and stopped there to fish. They got some snapper, some ladyfish, a couple of Spanish mackerel. One guy caught some big reds over there right off the Cayo Costa side, right on the edge of the shoreline going out towards the beach side.
Now, what was that?
Some big redfish. He got him on that north end of Cayo Costa and that little cut through that people sneak through to get around those two little sandbars over there. He said he just anchored up there and just was throwing out cut bait because he was looking for anything.
Gotcha. Captiva Pass.
Captiva Pass has had a couple of sharks in it, some bigger black tips, some medium-sized bulls, a bunch of snook along the edges moving in. And one guy said he caught 6 gag grouper from 18 to 21 inches, but nothing legal size. He said it was pretty lumpy when the tide changed, so he gave up.
Okay. 17th Street?
Nothing. Some sea turtles hatching. I don't know if it was 17th Street, but the guy said he was on one of the side beaches and got to see some sea turtles hatch, which
Middle
is cool.
Beach?
A lot of stuff out there. Pompano, some nice whiting, a lot of snook, a couple of redfish, some jacks, mostly small jacks. The one guy had a picture, and it almost looked like a blue runner, but it was a pretty fuzzy picture. But pretty good. That would be my choice to fish right now with this wind, because that's kind of protected, and yet it's a short beach, so you're not going to get sandblasted right now. Some of those other wider beaches, I think you'd get pretty beat up. But I think that would be a nice calm area to go to check out personally if I was going to go beach fishing right now.
With all the storms we got, do we got any wider beaches?
Stump Pass is still pretty wide where they added that, and plus they just did that re-nourishment out of Boca from First Street from the pier. The broken down pier all the way up to the lighthouse, so they added in almost 100 yards of beach up there.
Yeah, I wonder if it's still there.
It was there, were we there a month and a half ago? It was still there.
Yeah, but Dorian and whatever that other one that went through and the other one that went up, yeah. That three storms.
No, I'd be real curious, but.
Yeah. Ponderosa, Sanibel?
The only thing I got down there is there's been some snook moving in really good around those docks in Ponderosa. And then at night, they've been catching a few big snook there at the Sanibel Causeway and at the Cape Coral Causeway. What is that, the midpoint bridge or whatever it is?
Okay.
It's all been nighttime mostly, though.
Yeah, it's funny. One of the best years we've ever had on snook fishing, and
yeah.
And somebody said, "Well, the closure's helping."
What?
Really?
Yeah. Where do you get that?
Just to clarify, our response is, if you think a closure is going to help, let's break this down. The snook have to get together. They have to spawn. The eggs have to fertilize. They have to gestate, hatch. those little tiny itty bitty snooks have to go out, survive predation, all this other kind of stuff, and actually grow up into something. So from when you close it, you won't see if there is a benefit or a detriment for a minimum of 2 years, probably three.
Right.
But at least 2 years before you can find out if that made any difference at all. Closing the snook season this year does nothing for the snook. Snook don't go from a 16th of an inch or a 32nd of an inch fry hatching out of an egg to a 34-inch adult.
No.
In a month.
No.
It don't work that way. This closure has done nothing, absolutely 100%, absolutely not a nothing bupkis for the snook you see here this year.
Right.
They were here long before this snook was closed. Years.
Right.
So this has nothing to do with the snook being closed. It's absolutely ridiculous concept even to consider that it's a possibility unless we have alien intervention. Now, we did not go through that as a possibility. I am sure any technology that can make it from Alpha Centauri to Earth, you know, in a reasonable amount of time, in not just multiple lifetimes, should be able to take a snook and grow it from an egg to a big snook in less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
But without alien intervention, give me a break. I'm tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
Really? Yep. Frank's got an attitude because, what? It's magic? Let's see. Did Houdini come back alive?
What's one of the fastest fish growing in the ocean?
Cobia. My, my.
You got it. They don't even get that big in their first year.
No. Nothing. Nothing that this closure has done. Nothing for the snook population as we know it.
Right.
We will start possibly to see effects of this next year, and definitely we will know if this helped or hurt or did no change at all the year after.
Absolutely.
So we're talking 2020, you may see some small snook running around. 2021, we will tell if this made a difference or did nothing. But to think that now, oh, that snook closure's doing really good, we're catching a lot of snook. What's wrong with you? You know, I think it's because of, like, Facebook and Insta Twit and all that kind of stuff. That
right.
With all the face tweeting and all this kind of stuff that they're doing. When it happens there, that's forever. You know, that Facebook post until the next one comes out, and then the last one didn't happen. I don't know.
All right.
But, okay, anyway, sorry. Matt Lachey.
All around Matt Lachey, south of Matt Lachey through the Indian Fields, a lot of redfish and quite a few juvenile.
Indian Fields are north.
Are they north? Why do I always screw that up?
I don't know, but you like saying south.
I always like transposing it for some reason.
There's a movie, it's called The Wall, and it's about where these...
Isn't it Pink Floyd?
No, it's a monster movie. I think Matt Damon's in it.
Oh.
In China where the...
What is that? The Great...
The Great Wall.
Great Wall, yeah. That was a good movie.
And it's really funny because at the beginning of it, he says, we'll go north through the mountains and lose them in the and then we can kill them in the mountains. And then when he goes, which would mean they were going to go north, right? But he's captured by the Chinese on the wall. And they say, where are the monsters? And he says, north in the mountains, 2 days' ride. he's like you. He only says north. We're going to go north. Where were you? North.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
okay. Well, the Indian Fields.
I just put all around north or south.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm hearing both. And then there's been quite a few snook popping up all over the place, but they have been catching some snook off the Matt Lachey Bridge itself. Some mangrove snapper is starting to pick up down there. And then some of the guys that are fishing the mouths of those Cape Coral canals through that area are picking up a lot more sand bream and some juvenile tarpon. Got that one guy that comes to our fishing club all the time. He brought a new friend on the last meeting, and he actually called me up and gave me a little report the other day, which was cool.
Well, I can keep the Cape Coral thing on there.
Yeah, he told me about right there, and they come out just right there around the Matt Lachey area is what he said. So,
okay.
haven't gotten any inside reports on the canals. I'll try to ask them next time.
All right, Parnell and Sound.
Speaking of that, we got that this week, don't we?
Is Luigi's this week?
Yeah, I believe so. 27th, 28th, something like that.
Is it that then? Oh, yeah, today's the 21st. It's next week. We got Luigi's.
Yep.
Wow.
Darn it. Good thing I remembered that.
Yeah.
Now all I have to do is remember it on Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to remind Chandler's got to work because you and I got to go to Luigi's.
Right.
And the weird part about it is it's a fun thing to do.
It is. It's awesome.
And, you know, we go up, we do our talks, we have dinner, we relax. It's a real nice once a month, okay, we're going to Luigi's. It's so great to be back there. But because we gave up our second Tuesday spot, he's booked all kinds of people. That back room is busy back there.
Yeah.
Luigi's is, they've got that back
kind
room
of the place to
out
be.
To a ton of people. And because the food's awesome. Food's great. You know, the prices are reasonable. And, you know, so
the waitresses good. And waiters are great, too.
Yeah, everybody's real nice, and it's a wonderful place to go. So we look forward to it. But you have to look on the website to see when the dates are. As of the first of each month, you can call and reserve the seats. The only reason we're putting the first of the month on it is because when people say, oh, I want to come the next month, then they forget.
Right.
And they don't show up, and people could have had those seats.
Right.
So it's our way of just kind of keeping it a little under control. So anyway, thank you. If you've come to Luigi's, we love you. If you haven't come to Luigi's, we'd love to see you. All right, Pine Island Sound.
Pine Island Sound's got a lot of snook moving around it and quite a few redfish. I haven't heard of any schools. A couple guys say they've been seeing some and fishing, but I haven't heard of any accurate reports. All that I've been hearing about has been singles and doubles underneath the bushes. Guys are catching them on white bait, catching them on cut mullet, cut ladyfish. A couple guys have been doing fair on shrimp, and a whole lot of spoons are being sold fishing, you know, guys are using down there. I've not heard of any trout, Spanish sharks, nothing else. Just been void of that. But good snook, good redfish. So it's a nice little change. They're just all over the map as far as where they're fishing at.
Yeah,
it's a big darn area to have such a vague report, but it's a hodgepodge.
All right, Jug Creek, Boquilla.
Boquilla's had some snook along it, and the one guy was telling me he skipped a bunch of pompano the other day when he was trying to get over to Jug Creek, but he said the wind was just a little too peppy, so he turned around and just fished the shoreline and went back home.
Okay, and Burnt Store, two pines.
A lot of snook, schools of ladyfish. Been a few pompano over there, and then there has been some redfish over there, but nothing to be super excited about. Kind of incidental bycatch right now over there. I think they just got beat up way too hard for those couple weeks, or they got full, one of the two.
Okay,
east side's got a lot of snook, a lot of redfish from Burnt Store all the way to Alligator Creek. There's been some small schools of redfish. Almost all of anything that you see push over there, there's a lot of small schools of redfish, 10 to 30 fish in a school. A couple guys have been catching some around some of the small schools of mullet that they're bumping into over there. And then the snook have been around most of the little exterior islands. And then one guy actually hooked a cobia over there on the outside of the bar when he was looking around for tarpon. And there was some juvenile tarpon right there just north of Pyra Harbor. It's a good mix mash over there. And almost all that stuff, topwater, same thing. Kind of that topwater, spoons, cut mullet, cut ladyfish. Seems to be the theme for most of the fish going on right now.
Okay.
One guy said he threw out a whole bunch of white bait, couldn't get anything, so his son was messing around and threw a spoon and sat there and caught three little snook.
Isn't that weird?
Like, how long did it take you to find the white bait? He said, oh, you don't even want to know. Like, no wonder your son had a spoon on.
Yeah. That's why I won't go fishing with 99% of the people, because being Fish and Frank, they want to impress me. So they go out, spend hours and hours finding bait, and then we go out to go fishing. By then, I've lost interest. I mean, I've been sleeping on the boat for, you know, I'm like, man, I could have got drunk. You know, I could have been sitting in the house with a cocktail.
Started the novel Gone with the Wind and almost been finished with it.
Absolutely. There's, you know. All right. I could have been trying some different types of shine and relaxing, or working in the yard, or reading a book.
Caught or fish during the peak fishing time instead of messing around with bait.
You know, I can't wait till Highway Through Hell comes back on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I really miss that show. It ended, you know, following Jamie Davis around his tow company, and it's like he's a Canadian me. Everything works out really, really good, then it all falls apart, and he's down on his butt, and he builds it all back up, and he goes down on his butt again. And I'm like, I'm dying to see what happens this season. They better not cancel it, because if they do, I'll have to drive to Canada to meet him.
Right. There you go.
I'll tell you, when I go on my trip, I'm might be a definitely good idea. Going by there to meet him. I just, you know, I wouldn't mean anything to him, but watching all the stuff over the 7 seasons they've been on the air, you know, he's doing really good and kind of loses it all, does really good and falls way back. And, you know, I just feel like such a kindred spirit to this guy. And he's really, you know, great tow truck operator and good businessman and all that, but man, he's got my kind of luck. So I'm sitting here with bated breath, waiting for Highway to Hell to come back on TV.
Nice.
Like, one of the only shows I anticipate. Everything else is, you know, I don't need little political messages in my TV shows. I don't care. You know, you want to endorse somebody or support something? Just say it. Don't try and hide it and pass it off. You know? Bunkers, Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut. The Alligator Creek is the creek there, not the reef. It is the creek, Alligator Creek, for 3,000, Alex.
Been some redfish right at the mouth, and then they've been
I wonder if I can get sued for saying that.
Oh, I doubt it.
If it's possible, it will happen.
No, that's true. All right, just talking about your
alligator,
luck.
Alligator Creek.
Your luck or lack thereof sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
The, you know, redfish at the mouth. And then there's been some jacks up on the inside a little bit, but there's been some snook starting to move up in there. And there's still been some really, really good quality black drum up inside Burnt Store Meadows and Burnt Store Isles all through that whole canal system. A couple of guys are seeing some juvenile tarpon up in there, but I don't know of anyone that's been catching them. But the black drum has been pretty good throughout that whole area.
Trying to train my fingers not to do H-T-E, but T-H-E. That was the first one I got wrong this whole time. But then again, I'm trying to find other words to use besides the. All right. Ponce de Leon.
Ponce de Leon's got black drum, snook, a lot of small snapper, and then there's been a few jacks and juvenile tarpon moving through there, but not staying there at all. But, you know, black drum's definitely the theme throughout that whole area right now.
Okay. That's going to take us to the PGI canals.
PGI canals, they've been getting a ton of really large black drum. 40 and 50 seem to be kind of the normal. It's like if you catch a 20-pounder, you're like, what? What happened? What happened there? Which is super cool. Some nice snook starting to pop up all throughout the whole area. Handful of juvenile tarpon. And then the other thing that a lot of people have been catching this week up in there have been the baby Jewfish or baby Goliath grouper, however you want to look at it. So, you know, one guy thought it might have been a gag, but he still let it go because he had heard that there was a lot of Jewfish in there, Goliath grouper. And I showed him the difference, and he's like, oh, yeah, definitely. Can tell just by the color, and I'm like, you can't always go by that. The juveniles are usually really pretty, but I've caught a couple pretty ugly ones back in there.
Okay. Hillcrest Pier.
One little black tip I heard about, and then a couple of jacks along the seawall. The wind's been pretty peppy over there too, so not too much of a report at all to give. The jacks were yesterday, and the black tip was the day before.
Alligator Creek Reef?
Got nothing.
Yeah, be a little sporty over there.
Yeah.
The deep holes in the harbor?
Same thing. A little too peppy. Nobody's been out there. A couple diehards looking for tarpon, but that's a big goose egg. That's going to make the tarpon map really easy this week, too, I'm telling you.
The freshwater report?
The bass are starting to pick up. A lot of these canals are starting to drop down a little bit because of the lack of rain. So they're starting to concentrate just a little bit more, or congregate a little bit more, not being so dispersed. 9 Mile Canal, of course. Webb Lakes are starting to pick up just a little tiny bit. But the catfish have been... We've had two guys going over there to the Webb Lakes now this week that are going catfishing. Because I guess the bullhead bite's been doing pretty good along with a couple of channel catfish. And then you got a couple of guys that have actually been going down south because of the rain drying up and trying to get into some Oscars. But those guys were going today, so I don't know what they got.
Yeah, I haven't really... I've been, you know, with my dad still in the hospital and all that, and everything else going on. I mean, our media company trying to get off the ground here any day, and we've got... I've just had so much to do, I'm having a hard time keeping up.
72 irons.
Been a half a dozen, but they're a heck of a half a dozen.
Yeah.
All right. All right, the whole dot thing. Let me get the...
You don't even need to bother.
No red dots anywhere.
Nothing. Nothing. Literally. Except for the few juveniles, I got nothing.
What were we saying outside the bar by Pirate Harbor?
Juvenile tarpon right there just above Pirate Harbor on the inside of the bar.
Okay.
The only one report of some tarpon was down there at Sanibel, and they were at night. And they were small fish.
Yeah, and
Rick's been looking. Richie's
been
looking.
What's going on the Peace River up Harbor Heights?
Those few juveniles, but they're not consistent.
Gotcha.
They ever since Sunday, they like virtually vanished. Rick and Richie went out Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, and Carl had a tarpon charter on Tuesday and goose egged. Took him back out on Thursday, saw only a couple of fish, went all the way up the Peace River above the Navigator looking for fish, saw a couple of juveniles, went up the Myakka to El Jobin, saw one fish. He went all over God's creation, and finally the guy's like, well, let's go back and catch some of those big black drum if we can. So, but he spent 4 hours looking. They disappeared.
Wow.
I mean, even all the schools of ladyfish, he went to 3 different schools of ladyfish. He said there was a school of ladyfish just south of Alligator Creek is where he saw one fish by the ladyfish. He went to the school of ladyfish that he said he had heard about down by Devilfish, saw nothing, scanned nothing. Placida, saw nothing, scanned nothing. I have no idea where do, you know, a couple thousand tarpon go. I mean, I know where they can go and, you know, 24 hours, but it's...
Yeah, the list is endless.
It's just... It's staggering that it's just like a light switch.
Yeah. No.
And it's not cold enough for them to leave. Because no, Carl's like, well, do you think it's... I'm like, no. If they left, it's for some other entity. The water temperature is still, like, perfect.
Yeah, they're... You know,
those fish should be from the 20-foot hole all the way up to your place right now. This is the time of year when those fish like this upper hole all the way through the mouth of the Myakka up to basically the power lines in Harbor Heights.
And a little while ago, there was a ton of tarpon every morning out in front of Harbor Heights.
Mm-hmm.
There was just bunches of tarpon out there. And I haven't seen them in the last few mornings.
Nope.
No,
you got a lot of guys working hard to try to find them. I mean, obviously the wind is not helping, but prior to the wind really cranking, there were some good quality fishermen looking for them and just goose-egged. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to say about it.
Meh. I'm at a loss. Carl called me and going, what do I do? I'm like, the only place you haven't ran to yet, and I haven't heard a report yet, was up there at Harbor Heights area. So Frank and a couple other customers said about him, and I said, but I haven't had anything for like 3 days up there. So he went up there all the way up to the power lines. One little fish that he saw roll, that was it.
Well, it's just kind of weird. It's just so much going on. The mornings are gorgeous. This is literally nirvana here every morning.
Amazing.
And afternoons are a little sketchy because it's either in the 90s, hot and heck, or we got a storm going.
Yeah.
But the idea right now is to be in your boat at daybreak, idling out just as the light comes up with you. As soon as you get enough light to safely run, go over, get your fish. You got till 10, 11 o'clock where the fishing's going to be really good. After that, it's going to slow down, and then by 1, 2 o'clock, you want to be off the water. You don't want to be out there anymore. It's either going to be storming or hotter than heck. But evenings aren't bad. All in all, not too bad, you know, and
it's starting to change big time, so it's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to the next 4 or 5 weeks. This is always that cool, really cool time of year where, hey, I'm going to go snook fishing. Oh, wait a minute, there's a giant school of tarpon. Oh, wait a minute, there's a whole bunch of pompano. You know, this is a cool, awesome part of the year.
Oh, well, everything's closed. Well, snook, redfish, and spotted sea trout are closed. Black drum are open. Blue runners are open. Bluefish are open. Let's see.
Mangrove snapper.
Well, let's see. I'm going catfish you can catch, hardhead, sail cats, cobia. We've got eels. We've got flounder. We've got Goliath grouper, gag grouper. Got grunts. We've got Jack Crevel. We've got ladyfish. We got lizard fish. We have Spanish mackerel. We've got mullet. We've got, I think, pompano. Sand brim. We have black tips and bull sharks in the harbor. There's sheephead. Possible, maybe a lane snapper, but mostly they're all mangrove snappers. Let's see. We have spade fish. We have, and I'm just going over the ones in the harbor. Triple tail. Tarpon. Well, those you can't keep, so that's not a good one either. Sea robins, I wouldn't keep one of those. We have silver trout. We have sugar trout. We have stingrays. We've got whiting. Let's see, what else would there be? Toadfish. Just to name a few, boys and girls. So if you're thinking, oh, gee, there's no fish to catch or to eat because three of our species happen to be on catch and release right now.
Tank again. A little snooty.
So, I get it, but if you're into catch and release fishing, this is literally one of the best snook fishing years we've ever had.
It's been pretty amazing.
So, if you want to catch some snook, either regular size or overslot or monster snook, great time to come to Florida and go catch those fish. As the weather cools down, they're going to get a little easier to find, but a lot of big snook out there. We even got a lot of oversized redfish. So, you know, for as far as the catch and releasing go, you can do really good on the snook and redfish. As far as the eating goes, man, a 20-inch black drum is literally amazing. So, a lot of good stuff to do. Sand brim, it's like a saltwater crappie.
I was going to say, a 10 to 12-inch sand brim, ooh.
Yeah, that's tasty.
That's really, really pretty good. And I'm not a big fish eater, but that's amazing right there.
All right, so we got music playing in the background. That means we're supposed to get out of this. We're supposed to say goodbye. And thank you for listening. And I'm just going to say sorry for putting up with me. Robert in the chair across from me, Fish and Frank over here. We appreciate you guys. We really do. You are the only reason this store is fun. You know, you've got the most amazing customers and clients and friends on the planet. There's nobody like the people that come in here. So, any last words? Robert, do you have any last words?
You said a mouthful. That was pretty good. Yeah, it's perfect. It's what this place is about. The customers are just wonderful and make the day worth smiling about.
It really is. The guy was in here from Tampa, and he was saying, look at this place. That guy's, he's teaching them how to tie knots. That guy's over there helping with this. And this guy, he says, this place is ridiculous. I said, yeah, that kind of sums up this place. It's kind of ridiculous. And on that note, bye, boys and girls.